title, Grain Seeker. Oh, again, to capture biomass accumulation and grain filling dynamics in wheat germplasm. Looks good.
Thank you. Okay. Hello. Today I'm going to talk about the applications of Grain Seeker to the wheat breeding program. I'm a physiologist working with the wheat breeding program to develop high throughput phenotyping tools. By 2050, there'll be 9.6 billion people, and it'll be hard to feed every mouth, and we need to increase the food production by at least 60% more, which is a staggering number. And alarmingly, the wheat yields in Europe have stabilized. Most of the breeders in the room here, they may not agree with me, but the data says the wheat yields have attained a plateau in the Europe. But in US, India, which are the major wheat producing areas, the growth has been really slow. And it is very important to use genomic and phenomic tools in order to be able to make a better progress in development. Right now, we have got very little of phenotyping data, but we have very large amount of genomic data. The scale is not balanced. Unless we get more phenotyping data, we will not be able to make a great progress. This can help in a better selection tools for the breeders. Often, in the breeding programs, just by the staggering number of the breeding populations, breeders don't do it throughout the season. Even if they record, it may be visual notes, like disease scores, the tillering scores, and things like that. And often the breeders mainly depend upon the yield to advance or eliminate the breeding populations. In case, if we lose the grain yield data for a disease or hail, like the way we did in 2015, we lost the yield from three major locations where we had at least 8 to 10,000 plots. In those situations, we are not sure what to do. And even if we have just the yield data, it may not be sufficient to make the announcement because the stands may not be good and we may have issues with soil fertility. So the yield alone is not sufficient. So what we did was we wanted to develop tools. We tried several different sensors, active sensors and passive sensors. And also we used digital imaging and multispectral imaging. We thought those things are going to give us more data, but the data analysis and processing was very tough. So what we did was we went with the Grain Seeker sensor, and the data shows that it is hard to pick one particular stage or two to three stages where we can go and measure the data. It is very important to have the data throughout the season. And in past 2 years, I got a lot of data in multiple locations in bushland, Etter, and Chillicothe, which are in three different environments. In bushland, the data was in dryland and irrigated. I got the data from nearly seven different populations, and I'm not going to talk about all the data here, but the importance is we tested the techniques on different germplasm, and it is a very good way to exercise and lose weight. What I can say here is that I started to walk around 10 o'clock in the afternoon. By the end of the day, I walked 6 hours. And in the process of developing high-throughput phenotyping, I myself became a high-throughput phenotyper. I walked 3,000 plots and for about 14 miles, burning about 1,000 calories. And Grain Seeker. Grain Seeker is an active sensor. It has got its own light source. It sheds light in red and near-infrared light wavelengths and sees how much of it is reflected back. And it outputs an NDVI value, which is estimated by that formula. It is very easy to use the instrument. You can use it any time of the day, as you have seen from the data. It is not useful when there is a high wind because the leaves are fluttering and the data amount it's reflecting is not ideal. It is very quick. You can measure about 100 cloths in less than 8 to 10 minutes. And the efficiency reduces with saturation. So this is one drawback. But if we can have height and other kind of data, it may be able to make an adjustment. Before we use the Green Seeker, we tested it on multiple backgrounds. White background is essentially no reflectance, which is 0.002. Even that 0.002 was because there was dust on that white board we tested. And bare soil about 0.16 and dry wheat mulch about 0.14. Okay, look at that. Early in the season, less biomass, lower NDVI values. As the season progresses, NDVI values gets higher by seeing higher amount of biomass. And I like this instrument for sure. The technical repeatability of the instrument is excellent. And I did the data on multiple times in the season. Early in the season, about 37 days after planting, 137 days after planting, and also during the later season, about 247 days. What I did was, I took the data in replication one. Within 5 minutes after walking, I walked on the same plots again to see how reliable is the instrument. The data is highly repeatable. And also I took the data on uniform forage variety trials where we had barley, rye, triticale, oat, and other germplasm, and the synthetic wheat, which is an association mapping panel population, and only wheat varieties. So it is a very good instrument. Since I have got a lot of data, I'm not going to talk about everything. I'm going to talk about only a few key areas where the breeders have believed, okay, this is what we want to do. This can help in selecting the better materials. Stand establishment percent ground cover. I took the images on five different species, barley, winter wheat, rye, triticale, and oats, converted them to the digital ground cover, and I also had the NDVI at the same time. And to be able to take the digital images, it took me about 40 minutes to finish up about 120 plots. But with the Green Seeker, I could walk in 10 minutes. And the data from those two instruments is relatively good, and the correlation is very, very high. So by using a Green Seeker, we can save the amount of time. And also what we did was, in one of the forage studies where we had, we harvested the biomass at the end of the fall season, about 8 to 10 weeks after the planting, we harvested biomass at four different environments, bushland, 2014, 2015, Lockett, again 2014 and 15. Look at the NDVI correlations with the biomass by the end of the season. These numbers are really, really good. And if we have if we want to decide what genotypes to recommend to what environment, this instrument is also very good because these are the three experimental lines which we have in our breeding team, which may be released in a year or two. These three varieties, Chillicothe 2014 and 2015, you can see that 1114 had always higher biomass early in the season in Chillicothe at both locations, whereas in bushland, dryland, 1249 was looking better in the later in the season. In the irrigated trials, essentially those things had no difference. And also, what I'm trying to show here is that 40 wheat varieties in the uniform wheat variety trials, these are the days after planting, 20, 23, 30, and 40 days. I have sorted them. These are the NDVI values. I have sorted them across the season. If I had sorted them for within a day, you could have seen a lot of differences in the varieties. Even then, you can identify that the red ones are low NDVI values with the lower biomass. The greener it gets, more NDVI and more biomass. This instrument is very good for early vigor. And look what happened around 55 days. There was a hard freeze in Amarillo. Until then, the temperatures were very good, and they dipped within a day, and then some varieties showed winter hardiness. Some were very, very susceptible. And the Green Seeker was able to pick up all those minute differences. And also the winter recovery after the freeze injury. Some varieties recovered very quick. The greener ones shows they had less damage, but recovered very quickly. And the ones which are still redder towards the end, which means that they are lower, they have got the low ability to recover, they might be winter susceptible. And during the late spring and early summer, for about 6 weeks, where the wheat biomass grows rapidly, we had very, very little rainfall, about 0.21 inches. After attaining saturation, some of the varieties were feeling stressful. They were losing biomass, they were rolling their leaves and dropping the biomass. Again, we are able to capture that really well. And this is after the after those days, here about 200 days after this slide. Here what I'm trying to show here is that 20 wheat varieties with fungicide treatment, which are open circles, the closed black circles are without fungicide treatment. During the senescence, we had heavy stripe rust in Amarillo last year, and you can see how the senescence is happening in presence of stripe rust. Three varieties, Red Hawk, 111, 112, had very high stripe rust. They were decreasing greenness, and they were susceptible. After the fungicide treatment, the trial showed that it is very effective there. So fungicide treatment will be very useful in these varieties. Whereas some of the varieties, we don't need to spray for fungicides. So we can tell, we can also decide the management decisions about which ones are resistant and where we need to save money. And these are the NDVI data on one of the biparental mapping populations. 7 days during the season, and this is the yield. It has got excellent correlation with the values of 0.7, 0.73, and 0.68. And we also used the earlier developed models to predict the yield, which is good. And so with this, we can also go for better models predicting. What we understood was that with other sensors, we can make this process look much better. So we put few sensors together with help of Jesse and Jared, and we can also detect the stands within the plots. We can identify which plots have better stands and which are not. And we are also in the process of going aerial. Some of these green-looking areas are high planting densities. This one with is the seed treatment. So, and looking at the NDVI in the ground and the aerial, the correlations look really good, which is optimistic. Instead of walking in the fields for about 6 to 8 hours, we can fly for about a few minutes and get similar data. This is looking very optimistic. With this, I would like to acknowledge a lot of my friends and advisors. I would like to take any questions you have.